Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPW, share number 113, by explaining share for women, share number 113. We're going to talk about positive speech, the power of words, which is like the music of a violin. The sweet notes of a violin can be calming, inspiring, and uplifting. But if the bow rubs the string the wrong way, a loud, shrill tone can shatter glass, which means that you can use your words as a powerful tool to enhance your lives together as a married couple. But if you misuse your words, you can shatter that delicate glass that's your marriage. There needs to be a strong commitment on both ends never to speak humiliating remarks, disparaging remarks, should never pass our lips, no matter what the circumstances are. It's very difficult once hurtful words are said. It leaves a reishim, and there's a lot of pain, and it's hard to undo. Again, there's always hope, and there's always healing. If you're ready, it happened already, and even if it was a pattern, you can undo that damage, you could reverse it, but it's serious. It's serious. Hurtful words are very, very serious. One needs to be extremely careful regarding that. You know, the Gemara Sukkah says towards the end of the Gemara Sukkah that whatever child speaks on the street was heard oimi abba oimi, either from his father or mother. So children pick up on the tones of voice and the way parents talk to each other. They even mimic their tone in the way they talk to their friends, in the way they speak to their teachers, and even back at you, and ultimately, sadly, the way they, your own children, will talk to their own husbands and wives later in life. If you and your husband speak to each other in harsh ways, humiliating ways, disparaging ways, your children very likely absorb that, and they will do the same to their own spouses. So inherently, really, our own behaviors in our own marriages profoundly affect the well-being, the emotional well-being of the marriages of your children later in life. That is extremely important point to understand. And look, Rosh Hashanah Shofar Ol Hirsch points out the gentle words often used. You sometimes find harsh words, so it's taka tzarech in when that was used in Chazal, but you learn from the pleasant ones. Avram requested from Sarah, Imri no hachaysiat, Imri no, please. Sarah, boy no el shalchasi. Please marry Hagar, so I should have children through her. Yaakov said, Lech no el atzayin. Go, please go and see how your brothers are doing. Shlomo HaMelech says, Loshen raka tishbagarem. A soft tongue breaks a bone, which means that it has extreme power. Devrei chachamim benachas nishmoim. The words of the wise are easily accepted. The Miriamis teaches it this way. Devrei chachamim benachas. If wise words are spoken gently, nishmoim, they are accepted. Even wise words need to be said gently. And of course, the beginning of the Igeres HaRamban, Tavu Chol Esav Chol Shah, benachas, I'm paraphrasing it. And that's how you'll succeed in all your ways, as it starts off in the Igeres HaRamban. The Bar Metzia says, I know as devarim, harming someone with words is much worse than harming someone with money. So it's very, very important to never be hurtful in your words. Don't use the word get. Don't use the word divorce. Words are not playthings. They are seeds planted in the earth, and it takes years to blossom. So you use harsh words like that. Words like divorce, quarreling, accusations, insults. Don't allow yourself to speak that way. Very, very important. The Chafetz Chaim talks about this a lot. Now, he does acknowledge, the Chafetz Chaim, that many people fall into downness if they don't engage in conversations. So some people have a strong need to talk, and that's okay, but only speak positively of others. Only speak up positively of others, or speak about other things. So that is the idea. Use your speech in the best possible way. Don't belittle not only your husband, but his friends. And Again, overpraising could cause haughtiness maybe, but you have to be careful not to disparage either. So that is a real important idea. Another thing to understand that arguments and disagreements will be part of a person's life. It is natural to have arguments, but to learn how to go about handling it, but they're covered in a respectful way. It's brought down that Poyta Mayim Reishis Madayim V'ofnei Hiskala Harev Netosh, which means that one who lets out water from a dam, it's a beginning of a machlekes, and before the argument is revealed, you should abandon it. So starting the argument is like drilling a hole in a wall that's retaining a dam. The force of the escaping water will make the gap larger and larger. The longer the water is allowed to flow, the greater the damage. So stop that flow of water. Don't allow the disagreement to escalate into a full-fledged war. It's extremely important. Expressing forgiveness when you catch on that you were wrong. Ask mechila right away. Ask forgiveness. Break that ego. Stop the damage. Recognize your mistake and move forward. Sorry, it's an oversight. Sorry, I made a mistake. Sorry, I did it wrong. Very important. So that's the idea of positive speech, speaking in a positive way. Then there is the gift also of silence. There is an idea of a certain wisdom that comes with silence. Rav Gamliel, Shem Ben Gamliel said that all my life, Leimatasi laguf tov yaseh mishtika, to the body. He not only prays silence as a good midah to prepare for tefillah, let's say, and things like that, or to learn Torah, but it is good for the body. It ensures a higher quality of life in the world. Doesn't mean you have to be a hermit. Doesn't mean you have to be mute. But it means a certain degree of healthy silence in watching your tongue. One who is silent when he has nothing to say, then he's not guarding his tongue. He's just smart. He's not being a fool. He's not saying anything stupid. But Shomer Pivel or Shomer, when he has something to say, and he holds himself back and he guards it and he does not say it and he's silent, that's the Gibor. And that's a key to Shalom Bayis. Silence is a powerful tool in the realm of Shalom Bayis. A house built on the foundation of that there's no harsh criticisms there, there's no endless complaints, there's no excessive demands, that's the way home should be. Doesn't mean they don't communicate. We talked about this many, many times. You can learn how to communicate. Even with differences, you can learn how to communicate, but always with a healthy connection. You know, married people, when they're comfortable with one another, just like a true friendship comes when silence between two people are comfortable, in a marriage, you can learn to have a comfortable silence. You're able to do that, where it's not a tense silence. It's sort of like you're both at peace. You're both really connecting, even though you're silent. Sometimes that could happen, you know. Very often, you know, a husband and wife, they're in the bedroom and they're both reading something and it's quiet, it's silent. It's not a tense silence. It's a calm, peaceful silence. And then when they need to talk, whatever the important thing to talk, Lashon Tov, they do so. And that's what they do. So it is, you know, the Gemara Megillah says, a word is worth one selah, shtika betray, silence is worth two. Rashi says, if you're prepared to purchase speech for one selah, spend two and purchase silence. So you see here the ability and the gift of keeping silent, keeping quiet. The Gemara Taina says, Ein bracha matzei ala b'davar hasamei min ha'ayin. A bracha comes from what is hidden from the eye. Sometimes you have to keep good news to yourself to avoid ayin hara. That's a very important yisayit also. And now I'm going to tell you a story, more or less, that they bring here about a shidduch. Okay, that Elio was his name, and he was perfect with midos and everything, and parnasa and all of that. But he smoked, and it was repulsive to her and unrefined to her. But the wife, nevertheless, went ahead with the shidduch. But she hated that cloud of smoke, but she kept her silence. All those years, she learned how to accept it and accept it with silence. And years later, he ran to a friend from yeshiva, And they asked how to, and he broke the habit. How were you able to break the habit? You used to be a chain smoker. And Elio, the husband, said, "In the merit of my wife." He says, "How was your wife able to convince you to stop smoking?" And he answered, "She never said a single word about my smoking. And knowing how unpleasant it is, I admired her silence on the issue, and she exercised tremendous self-control holding her tongue. So I could also, I said, if she could do that, I could also show some self-restraint." And I cut back slowly, and finally I quit completely. So here, 1,000 lectures on the dangers of smoking would not have the same effect on Elio as his wife's persistent silence. Now again, this needs shikol hadas, because unfortunately, many times you're silent all year, all the time, and the person is not even thinking about quitting. So it takes shikol hadas. Like everything else, you could take the story with a little bit of a grain of salt. But what is very true is that even if, let's say, you ask a mentor, you ask a rav, you ask hadracha, and you're told you should mention something or encourage your husband to try to stop smoking, and that may be the right approach, not like in this story where total silence is the right approach, that could be, but either way, but not with the nagging, not with the resentment, not with the constant pushing. That for sure, according to everyone, is going to be counterproductive. So either silence completely, or even if here and there you do mention it in passing, calmly, pleasantly, but you don't dwell on it, and for the most part in your regular interactions, you let it go, that will help a lot bringing a person up. It's same thing with, this happens a lot when wives are upset at their husbands for getting up very late Shabbos morning, and they come like an hour and a half late to Shacharis, and they oversleep there, and it upsets them, the wives, how to handle it. Sometimes they would be told, just be silent and supportive. They'll come out of it on their own. The nagging about it or being upset about it will just accentuate the problem, and he'll continue to do so. Sometimes you may be told, mention it in an encouraging way, but never, ever with the nagging and the dwelling on it. So that's an important thing. So here you see sometimes that the silence, but even an internal silence of accepting the situation, helps tremendously. It's a valuable skill, silence. It's a valuable skill. There's once a Rav Shlomke from Zvil. He was visited by a heartbroken young married man who didn't have children for a long time. And the Rebbe said, "You want your prayers to be answered? Promise me one thing. Between Mincha and Ma'ariv, don't speak about trivial matters. Don't talk politics or anything like that." He agreed. A year later, Shlomke sat as a sandik at his first son's bris. And at the bris, he asked, "What's the connection between politics and children?" "So, you know, that you told me this Eitzah and it worked." Shlomke said, "In the past, I saw you talk enthusiastically about the politics and about what he's doing and she's doing. You spoke it with such reverences and your eyes shone. And every person is allotted a certain amount of pleasure on Rosh Hashanah. And you were using up your minutes of pleasure on meaningless conversation. And I suspected that if you let go of that pleasure, of those meaningless enjoyment of meaningless conversations, and you kept your mouth shut, and you held yourself back from the captivating audience that's listening to you, then you would have a chance to experience different forms of pleasure. You'll be able to enjoy holding your own son in your own arms." So that's a very important insight. To use your words wisely when you speak, and to learn the healthy silence. And you bring stories here. I'm not going to go into detail that sometimes it's annoying when one is very careful speaking Lashon Hara. There's a story with a wife that was very careful about it. Husband was somewhat annoyed, felt it was a little bit extreme, but later he recognized it, and the wife overheard. You know, how you have such wonderful children, and the husband responded, "That's because of my wife's chus, because of her shmiras aloshin." So even when it's sometimes hard, but he recognizes this. So it's very, very important. The idea is that criticism is poison. and to learn the halachis of Shmir Salash. And he brings down about the Rav from, the Rosh Yeshiva Manchester, who Segel encouraged his Talmidim to learn two halachas of Shmir Salash every day. And they always received refuas and yeshuas, whether in children, whether in shaduchim, whether in b'parnasa, whether in health. The Chafetz Chaim himself promised that if one learned his Sefer Chafetz Chaim, be a defender in heaven. It never fails to help. And so that's a big skula. It'll teach you how to be silent. It'll teach you also how to speak the right way. He quotes here from the writings of Aryeh Levine after the death of his wife. So I'm just going to quote what is written here. Who would ever describe her devotion and goodness? She had a cheerful smile for everyone, spread out her compassion to every living being. She was all kindness and pity, all holiness, but above all, she watched her tongue to the most ordinary degree. She never saw sin or evil in any man. She never brought pain into any heart. Bracha v'atzlacha.